The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 26th, 2014 at the airport in Melbourne, Australia.
Chanting at night, is it in mode of ignorance or is not allowed to chant at night?
Krishna says, Satatang Kittayanto Mam. You must chant my name 24 hours a day. So chanting is transcendental. It doesn't matter when you chant or where you chant. There's no hard and fast rule for chanting. It can be done any time, in any place, in any circumstance. It's always transcendental. But your japa are better chanted early in the morning. The tamagun does become prominent after sunset. So it's harder to chant because we are still under the influence of the moon. It's harder for us to meditate at night. It's easier for us to meditate in the morning. But the name itself is always the name himself. More correctly stated, is always fully transcendental. But we're not. So it's easier for us to connect with the purely transcendental process of chanting in the early morning. Want to add something to that, Devi? Anything? Any next question?
Devotee for some help in spiritual life, like some motivation. Like, I can't get up in the morning. Can I depend on him? Or because at this stage I cannot depend on Krishna. So is it okay to depend on your spouse for getting up in the morning?
Yes, they should be helping one another. Get them up.
Yeah, you have to be. Don't be an impersonalist. Everyone has to. Don't be an impersonalist. Every devotee has to care for the other devotees that are associated. The husband should care for the wife. The wife should care for the husband. If you're in the Brahmacharya ashram, the Brahmacharya should help each other. The Brahmacharya ashram, the Brahmacharya should help each other. The more you can become connected with Sangha, that Sangha gives you strength. It's like one stick, you can break it very easily, but a bundle of sticks you cannot break. So we should be packed up tightly with devotees as much as we possibly can, because we get strength.
Sangha also breaks one up, because everybody's mood are not same.
Breaks? What is it?
Even the Sangha sometimes breaks because everybody's moods are not same.
Yeah, well, because sometimes devotees, Prabhupada said, don't fight amongst yourselves. Why did he say that? Because we do that sometimes. Sometimes we fight amongst ourselves. The Prabhupada told us not to do that, so we have to remember. Be very tolerant and always be thinking of others and not be selfish. You see, conflict comes when we become selfish. If I think I'm the center and I ignore you and just thinking about myself, and that leads to conflict. We have to always try to help each other in every way. Yeah.
Raj, the consciousness I have, I mean, I don't have any problem helping my spouse, but the way I say is I get inspiration from you, from both of you. Like 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you finish your rounds. That gives me so much inspiration that, hang on, what are you doing? Your spiritual master is awake and you are still sleeping. Get up and chant your rounds so you can connect with him straight away, right now. That gives me so much inspiration that automatically I get up. Doesn't matter what is going on. So then I ask her that, don't depend on me because I'm still so much, I have so much fault and I have so much contamination that I may fall down anytime. So if you depend on me, then yeah, what's the hope
well,
for you?
Well, at least when you are fixed, you should help her.
No, so the more you help others, the more you become strong.
But is it not okay that I ask her to depend on you rather than...
Yeah, but by seeing you, she will depend on him.
That'll happen automatically. But you can't say, okay, I'm going to take care of you. Gurudev and Gurumata will take care of you. I don't have to take care of you at all. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm a brahmachari living in the house here. I don't know who you really are. I'm just a brahmachari, and you take guru and guru mata take care of you. That's bhagavad. The husband is the duty. Don't you know the Bhagavatam verse? It says, "Don't become a husband unless you deliver your wife from birth and death." So it's your duty to see that she goes back to Godhead. You have to help serve me. I've taken the responsibility of her initiating spiritual master, but you have to help me to see that she's always in Krishna consciousness. That's service to me. You understand? Yeah.
Don't try to find some loopholes. Don't try to find some loopholes. If you don't train her, then how she is gonna save you when if you are falling down? Huh? So both has to happen.
But on the same note, then do we need to have one authority in a household life? That, like,
nobody is authority. Krishna is the authority.
As in, but then there are some times when the other person knows better, and
yes.
And then
here's what Prabhupada said. My godbrother Tejas, his wife was Tejasini, and they were in India serving Prabhupada in the early days, and Prabhupada took personal care of all the devotees in the early days because it was no big projects. It was very austere. So they were always fighting, and Tejasini was running away, and Prabhupada had to bring them back again. Prabhupada was the marriage counselor to keep their marriage together. And Prabhupada said, why do you, what's the difficulty? Prabhupada went and asked Tejas, what is the difficulty? And he said, well, Prabhupada, she doesn't do what I say. And then Prabhupada said, if she doesn't do what you say, then you should do what she says. So it is like Mataji said. Prabhupada said, even though traditionally the husband would be the leader and the wife would follow, this is the Kali Yuga. What men are so qualified to be, to be like them? We're all Shudras in this thing. So it is a partnership. And the real once, sometimes I was asked to Prabhupada, the reporter said, I've heard in your movement that the men make the decisions and the women follow. Was that correct? When lady reporter asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, we follow the orders of Krishna, men and women both. So that's the real thing.
That's what I meant.
Not what you want, not what she wants. What does Krishna want? What does Gurudev and Guru Mata want? These girls, you see. That's how you have to base your marriage. What does Krishna want me to do? Not what I want. Hey, I'm the authority here, don't you know? No. What does Krishna want?
Wife should follow me. Now. If she's right, you follow her. And if you are right, she should follow her. What is Krishna? You are servant, she is a servant. Not that she is your servant and you are her servant.
Okay, next question.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hank from Accra.
What should we do when our mind is getting agitated? Stop that agitation and false ego coming up. What should we do? Should we start chanting?
Yes, start chanting. Start chanting or put some water or juice in your mouth. There's a story like that. If you don't want to say something bad or something, just put something in the mouth will not open.
It's a nice one.
One has to learn how to be reserved in speech. Some of us are blabbermouths, we just tend to go blah, 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 blah.
That's me, I get it.
We have to learn how, Prabhupada said, a gentleman thinks twice before speaking anything. So we have to be reserved in our speech. If one is reserved in one's speech, one will not commit any offense. They'll never speak out of anger or lust or greed. And a thoughtful person will only speak what is proper according to Guru, Shastra, and Sadhus.
But sometimes they don't speak and they do let it do the wrong also.
Yes. Yeah. But
that is also not.
But if one can. The point is, we learn how to hear. That's more important than speaking. God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should be twice as eager to hear as we are to speak.
Yes, if somebody is doing something wrong, putting the fingers in the fire, if you don't shout, then what will happen?
No, one has to do the needful. If there's a need to speak, you speak.
Exactly.
We should not
so
speak
It is both sides. Not that one has to remain sober and not speak. And speak when it's not necessary also.
When it's necessary to speak, you must... The Prabhupada gives this example. He said in the light of the Bhagavat, there are streams that flow during the rainy season and they are dry during the dry season. Prabhupada says, similarly, the great reformers sometimes speak and they sometimes do not speak. When there's a need to speak, one should speak very forcefully and very convincingly, authoritatively based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And when there's not a need to speak, one should remain silent.
Yeah, even if there is an emergency, another example is given. A child is playing kite or something on the roof and he's about to fall down. You're going to speak slowly and softly and very carefully? No, you're going to shout.
Sometimes shouting is necessary. Yeah. To get someone's attention.
Yes.
There's so much off in their own little mental plane. Sometimes you just got to really, hey, what are you doing? Stop that. Sometimes you have to do that.
So everything has to be used according to time, so nothing is wrong.
It's a time to speak and it's time to not speak. To everything there is a season. The Bible says
that's where sometimes the devotee speaks loudly, then the devotees find fault. But they have to see what urgency they have called in or they have said something and not to find a fault with them.
Can we please hear about the 10 offenses chanting the holy name of the Lord?
All 10 of them?
Do you know how to? Do you have you memorized them?
Can you list them for me? Can you say them?
Number 1, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in promoting the holy name of the Lord. Number 2, to consider names of a demigod like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu.
Is it like parrots or you understand?
I don't understand that
either. Okay. Which one do you not understand? Which one are you the most confused?
The first one.
Okay, that's called Hati Mata offense. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord all over the world. We have to always respect the other devotees. Every devotee, Prabhupada says, has a combination, or he says every person has a combination of good qualities and bad qualities. The honey bee, he looks for the honey, the fly looks for the sores. So a devotee is like a honeybee. He likes to see the good in others. Sometimes one may have to point out a fault as a service to help somebody in their Krishna consciousness. But actually the devotee's mood is always to see the good in others. He always wants to appreciate the other devotees. So if one doesn't appreciate and simply thinks, yeah, that devotee is just a rascal, you're committing the first offense. You should see the good in that devotee. Even if he is a rascal in some ways, you have to see the good in that person. It's very important to always see the good in others, especially when the spiritual master, like in our case, the Guru Mother. You have to repeat.
I can take some
for. Yeah. So that's called Hati Mata, the mad elephant offense. It's described that the cultivation of devotional service is like planting a seed in the garden. So you have to water the seed regularly. That's our chanting Hare Krishna. You have to keep out the weeds. That's illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And then it's also said you have to build a very strong fence around that garden to keep the mad elephant from tramping on your garden. So that mad elephant is Vaishnava Aparadha. So everybody should be very, very careful. I don't commit any offenses. Even in my mind, I shouldn't think, yeah, that devotee is such a creep. You know, we have to always, even if there's some disagreement, we have to always appreciate them. It's a very important thing. Even other, I mean, Prabhupada even appreciated the Muslims. How they were bowing down five times a day to Mecca, you see, to Allah. So, praying towards Mecca. So, we have to appreciate the good in others, even outside of our movement. We have everyone should be, we should appreciate the good in everyone, the good qualities of everyone. It's an important quality to always appreciate others. Very important quality. Especially with devotees, especially with senior devotees, especially with their own spiritual master. You should always see the good. Next question? Yeah.
Celebrate as a team. How do we serve you and Guru Mahārāj better when you are in Melbourne?
How to serve as a team, how to serve is better. This is a good question for Guru Mahārāj to answer. How to answer. She's expert at this kind of stuff. On my side, if I could see more attendance at Mangal Arati, that would be very nice. That would be very nice. That would be an improvement. And if each one of you can strive to perfect your chanting, that will automatically make you as a team more effective. Really take your chanting of your japa very seriously. This is the purification of my heart. This is how I get free from my contamination of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. In this way. Do you have any, as a team, do you have any suggestions for them, Devi, on how they can do a better job as a team to serve us? I find Mataji's, you have anything? How they can be a better team to serve us next time?
You live much better than me.
Huh?
You live much better than me.
So, yeah. That would be an improvement. Any other questions? Yeah.
Is it wrong to be over enthusiastic?
No. No, you can't ever be enthusiastic enough. Trouble is, we're not very enthusiastic. We're enthusiastic about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's the problem.
No, we are enthusiastic only when the guru is around.
And one must always, it's like Bhaktan Diana was asking about how to always be connected with the spiritual master. You have to take the order the spiritual master has given you to become a pure devotee and spread this movement as your life and soul. In this way you get unlimited enthusiasm at every minute from your dedication to following his order. My duty is given to me by my spiritual master to become a pure devotee and to spread this movement.
Sometimes.
Always be thinking how to do that. And you're always being, but you can never be over enthusiastic about becoming a pure devotee or spreading this movement.
Sometimes we are just enthusiastic when the spiritual master, we run the circles around, but other times, the spiritual master is not going to see me what I'm doing.
Don't think the spiritual master is limited to his body. Krishna can see what you're doing, and Krishna is in the heart of your spiritual master. So don't think that you can get off scot-free by deviating in the absence of the spiritual master. Everything is being observed by higher authority.
Why I say that? Because sometimes we see in many temples this happens. The disciples will throng over when the spiritual master comes, otherwise the temple is empty.
Always maintain your enthusiasm. Next question.
What's the ideal home program, the program that we should have at home in the morning?
It depends on every situation. Some people have their working hours, whether they have kids or not. There's so many variables. What time you get home from work? There's so many variables in each situation. But ideally, there should be a Mangal Arati in every home, at least a Dup Arati, to sing the Gavastakam prayers. That should be there in every home. And if you can have Tulsi worship, that's even better. I keep a Tulsi tree in the home and have an offer a little arti to Tulsi every day. And the Shinga prayers and the Japa. And if you can read Bhagavatam for a few minutes, Jai Radha Madhava and the Bhagavatam, if that's possible. And Guru Puja also, if you can do that. Mangal Arati is the most essential thing. If you can't do the other things, just have a 5-minute Dup Arati every day. Offer the incense and the... You can offer a Giwik also, is nice, and the flower and a chamra. You have your spiritual master's photograph. Prabhupada is there, then you can have Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. And you can have Panchatattva and Radha Krishna, all photographs. And do that arti every day, at least a Dup arti.
So as close to the temple program as we can fit in to our own home.
Yeah. That's right. Much as the temple program as you can incorporate, that's the better. But at least sing the Gavastakam prayers every day. Even if you can't do an arti, sing the Gavastakam prayers every morning in unison. Just 5 minutes easily to go through, or less. At least do that much before you chant your rounds. Or you can chant your rounds first and then do Gravastikam. Depends on what time you get up for your rounds. Gravastikam is around 4:30.
Later is 5 can be done.
Yeah. Any other question? Next. Good.
He says about the work situation. They always talk nonsense, and we have to be with them. So how to tackle them?
Well, how do you deal with your customers are talking all nonsense?
No, the workplace.
Oh, he doesn't. Do you have a job, or are you just a chauffeur?
He'll work along with few, but they always talk nonsense.
Well, it depends how expert you are. The coolest thing to do is transcendentalize their conversations.
They may be talking about their job.
You know, depends. I mean, it depends on what are they talking about? Politics, gross sex. Gross sex. What's the favorite topic? Gross sex, politics, terrorism. What are they talking about?
Dirty
stuff. If it's so too dirty, just stay away from it.
Find your excuse to go to the bathroom or something. That's all.
Or you get on their case. And say this is the only thing you guys this is the only thing you all can talk about, and that's the only thing you have on your brain. You can ask them. Depends on what, if it's your boss, it depends on the relationship. because you know you have to protect your position and your job. So if you have a, if one has a cubicle, then you just put a picture of Krishna there and put a Bhagavad Gita there, it transcendentalize the whole atmosphere. It really, there's so many variables, it's hard to give the standard answer that applies to every situation. But you have to look at your specific circumstances. But a devotee can take any conversation and turn it into transcendental conversation. So one has to, that's what I would try to do. Give me an example of what they would say, and I'll see if I can transcendentalize it.
You just look at the girls and, you know, they pass comments.
When they see the opposite sex, they pass in the comments.
Ah. You can have a little fun with it. You say, yeah, the male ostrich also gets excited by a female ostrich, too, you could tell them. The male ostrich has similar feelings about the female ostrich. So what is the level of this conversation? it's just like an animal consciousness. do you ask him, do you know why you're really attracted to that woman over there? Do you know why you're really attracted to that woman over there? Because there's a spirit soul present within that body. If that was a dead body, you wouldn't be attracted to her. It's not the flesh and blood, the breasts or whatever that you're really attracted to. What you're really attracted to is the spiritual energy within that body. That's what you're really attracted to. And the proof is, if that body is dead, you're not going to try to have sex with that body. You're going to call 911 or whatever, the emergency, to pick up a dead body and haul it off.
You see? That's a good one.
Yeah, you can preach to them. You're thinking you're the body is the eyes of attraction, but actually it's not the eyes of attraction. It's the spirit, the spiritual energy, the spiritual being within that body is what's actually attractive. Next question. Yeah.
Gurudev, in the email, you said if I can't get up and do my chanting before sunrise, you asked me to at least fast till I finish my rounds and try if that works. But some days, there are days that I can't chant, I can't finish my rounds till afternoon or evening, like when I have a few services. So it's, what do you suggest?
You can't finish them in the afternoon or the evening?
There are some days that I can't chant.
Then you can make them up the next day if you have to.
No, see, the question was due to the service. You have said that fast till you finish your
chant. No. That's not a hard and fast rule. It's only a suggestion. It's not that you have to fast because you didn't get your round done. If by skipping a meal you can get your rounds done, you can do that, but if you're so busy you don't have time to eat or to chant, and you're going to end up starving to death, then go ahead and take prasadam. It's not a hard and fast rule, it's just a guideline. It can help one. Because once you eat, then also the blood goes to the stomach, and it's harder to meditate also. One can get sleepy after eating. So there's not a hard and fast rule. It's just a suggestion that may be helpful. It's not practical, it's not necessary. You don't have to fast until you get moving. Yeah.
Gurudev, one devotee told me that we should chant from the small bead, not the larger bead. We should chant from the small bead and go to towards the larger bead.
Why? What is his reason?
Then you tell him, my Guru Maharaj does this way, so I follow him.
But this was told by Vedvyas Priya Swami Maharaj.
Well, he's not your guru.
Here's where it's coming from. I was personally trained by Vishnujana Swami to start on the large side. And Prabhupada told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnujana Maharaj. So I was told by Prabhupada that I was expertly trained, and I envisioned my Jishnu Jana Swami, and he taught me to start on the large sun.
He gave me one reason. He said that these 108 beads represent 108 gopis, and you cannot, and the topmost, top 8 beads are the top 8 gopis. So we should not approach them directly, but we approach.
That's kind of cool. I like that concept. That's a cool concept.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You start with the 108th gopi and you work your way up to Radharani.
That's right.
But that's not how I was trained by Vishnu Jana Maharaj, and Prabhupada told me I got expertly trained by him. So he never said that about to me about Vedavyasa Priya Maharaj. He said about Vishnu Jana Maharaj. So I'm going to follow the one that Prabhupada said expertly trained me. Okay? And you can follow me if you like.
Some devotees say
that. The idea is cool. I think it's a cool idea, but it's not how I was trained. And Prabhupada confirmed that I was trained expertly by Vishnu Jana Swami. So I'm going to follow the big, start with the big bead. I've been training people for the last 40 years to chant on the big bead, and I'm not going to switch because of this example. Although I think it's a cool idea, but it's not cool enough for me to switch. I got stronger reasons to keep doing what I'm doing than the coolness of going to the small beat of the big beat. So the question is, can we directly approach Radharani as a starter? Well, are we chanting Hare first? Hare is Radharani. According to that logic, you couldn't say Radharani. You have to go Lalita or Vishakha before you say before you go Hare. You see? So I don't buy it. It's kind of a cool concept, but I don't buy it. I buy what I got from the one that Prabhupada said was expertly training me, Vishnu Jana Swami. Start with a large bead. But it's not a big deal. As long as you do, it's not a big deal, but you know, if they want to do it that way, it's not that they're not going to go back to Godhead or something like that. It's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal, but if you ask me, start with a big deal. Because that's how I was trained, and Prabhupada confirmed I was trained expertly.
But one is supposed to follow one's spiritual master, not somebody.
All right, so according to Manaji, you should follow me. I'm humble, I don't like to say, follow me. But she says you should follow me.
That's the guideline for everybody. They should follow the spiritual master, unless the spiritual master is
actually there. One should take the, according to Srila Prabhupada, you should take the order of your spiritual master as your very life and soul. So everyone here, start with a large bead. That's the instruction, and we respect the small bead people too. We respect them. We don't say they're in Maya, but there's the Chandravali's party and Radharani's party, all in Krishna's best name.
Next question.
And with the
yeah.
Gurudev, you give instructions like to lead a Krishna conscious life, but there are few instructions when you personally associate. It might be very small, like sit, stand, go here, give this to somebody, or take this. So, how seriously do we take even those little phrases that you say?
What they say?
Phrases?
Like Gurudev and Guru Mahat, you might say that go down and get this, or say keep this in this place. There are minor instructions, like when you personally present. So, how seriously should we take word to word?
Well, we learn from that. Not that every time it has to be repeated. Sometimes some instructions given can be give you the ideas how you should be acting in all situations. Not each time we have a picture, do this together. Like, for example, I'll give the story. One time, Acharya was supposed to go in the Shelva was supposed to go and get the milk. Mother sent him to get the milk from the milkman. So he arrived there late and there was no milk. So the milkman said, why don't you take cow so you can milk your milk there, go and milk it so you'll get some rum. But right now milk is finished. Look, but the so that so that the boy went back home and he didn't take the cow. He said, my mother told me to bring a milk. He didn't take the cow. So when he went home, when he told the whole story, what happened, his mother said, you should have brought the cow. So instead of learning and applying that kind of instructions in the time, place, and circumstances, he was just taking like a foolish boy. And the next day he went, he was asking for the cow. He said, there is milk, you take the milk. But he said, no, I want the cow. And the next day also he went without the milk. So we have to use sometimes intelligence what to learn and what to do. Not that each time we have to tell different instructions. From one instruction one can do so many things.
Recording this question and answer session. Next question. Next question.
So many offenses, but one of the most prominent one I consider is the regarding the book, the books, the conversation we had. So, could you please suggest some improvements we can follow?
Well, I thought you were saying that the devotees are concerned, those who gave the donation. But when the spiritual master is asking something, you don't think about that you have given the donation for the book, so the spiritual master also have to pay for it. You give him. If he gets it, if he gives you money back, you can take it. But you don't say that, who is responsible for paying for these books? Don't tell me that. You understand? It's a disciple's duty to see how the books are distributed.
Those funds, the funds for the books ultimately go into the bank account that we have anyway. It goes all the debt anyway. But you go this way or that way, it's going to the same place. But we can give you credit. We can note that this money came from these books. You just note it in accounting.
No, he was asking yesterday who is going to be responsible for these books, because everybody is those who donated in the first time. Who is responsible?
Yeah.
So that books you are taking to Adelaide, it's regarding to the books that going to Adelaide.
Yeah, Mahasudana is driving in his truck.
Yes.
Yeah. So whatever books are not sold there will go to Sydney, and whatever books are not sold
the
there...
The point is that I don't think so you're understanding the point what you are making. So disciples should not think that the spiritual master has to be responsible to pay back money. That's the point.
Yeah, that's right. All the funds are going towards the... going back to the book, the original book, is an account. The book fund account is already there in Austin. So all the funds are going there anyway. Whether it comes through you or it comes through what we collect and take back with us, it's the same thing. It's just a matter of whatever comes from selling the book, we can put into the book fund. Just note how many.
You haven't gotten the point yet.
Yeah, but I'm saying if we sell any in Adelaide and Sydney, that money could go.
Now, what should be the disciple mood in this regard?
I heard the way you were instructed me today. It was very nice what you told them. It was very proper. Okay, next question.
What part of our being, what part of our time is experiencing the material world? What's experiencing this? Is it the soul, the ego, the false ego, the intelligence? What's experiencing?
What's his question?
Who is experiencing the material world?
You are.
But what part of us?
What part of?
It's you. This is like you can look at something straight, or you can look through colored glasses. You can see it as it is, or you can see a distorted version of it. So you're experiencing a distorted version of reality right now, because your consciousness is clouded. You have a clouded. It's you, the same exact person who'll be directly associating with Krishna in your original form. It's the same exact person, but your consciousness is covered. You're perceiving through the glasses of the three modes of material nature, which completely distorts everything. So by this process, you gradually clarify your vision and bring things back into their original focus. It's like somebody is, your vision is completely blurred out right now. You're not seeing things as they are. You're seeing reality, but it's all blurred out, it's all distorted. So by this process, the senses become purified, they become clarified, and you actually reach that point where you can see Krishna face to face. Yeah.
Shri Gurudev, if through devotees' reference, if they send you some guest person or someone, and they ask you to help them out with the jobs, with some other material stuff.
Who asks you to help?
It's like devotees, they have some other friends, and they ask you to help them in finding a job. Setting up
in your company?
Some other, yeah, somewhere. So, how much time, or do we need to provide these facilities, or do we need to help them out, or how much time we need to spend helping them out?
It's helping their devotee friends or their non-devotee friends?
They are devotees' friends, but they are not practicing Krishna consciousness.
Oh, the friends of devotees are non-devotees.
Yeah, yes.
There's no obligation at all.
But then, what about the other devotee would feel like, oh? Like,
well, you have to tactfully, tactfully refuse.
You can show them the way, and this you have to do, but not that you spend all of your time on that. But not that you give up your time for your japa.
You can give them a little thing, you say, you know, you give them the name of a, you know. Give them a website they can go to or something. Some simple thing. You show that you show some sympathy. Well, you know, if you go to such and such, you know, melbournejobs.com, that may be help them out. And just give some little bit of help and then go about your business. You haven't even finished your rounds, and you may not have even finished your japa yet, and they want you to help some karmi get a job. Doesn't make sense. Your first job is to read Prabhupada's books, distribute of this knowledge, and to chant your japa. That's your first duty.
You can let the devotees know how much time you have to spend with them. How much time you have. Then you can just tell them that it won't be practical because I have got this service and I have to prioritize those things. Be honest. I will try my best, but I cannot guarantee you that I will be able to do something.
Next question.
Prasadam, is it true that if we offer prasadam without tulsi leaf, it's not been accepted?
Yes.
What about the body?
Well, if you really want to offer, that is, if he is not hungry. If you really want, then you have to get a tulsi, even dry tulsi or something. You would make arrangement if you want to offer it to Krishna.
But in temples also, like, you know, for example, in our temple, in the morning prasadam, we don't offer it to tulsi. No, not at all. Deities is different, but morning prasadam. the breakfast prasadam. We don't offer it with Tulsi. We've been told.
Yeah, where do they offer it?
They offer it to Srila Prabhupada's like photograph, and it's without Tulsi. Tulsi is only for deities.
Well, I do not know they should offer it. That has to be. Otherwise, Krishna doesn't accept.
Doesn't accept. As if you, he doesn't accept from not non-initiated devotees also.
Yes, that's why we have to beg mercy of Srila Prabhupada and offer it.
For example, my wife, she is not chanting, like she's not a devotee, so she offers, like, you know, is it something better than nothing or like...
It's better if she is engaged in the service.
So, like, you know, as, like, you know, I'm looking after two kids, sometimes she offers it, so
okay.
Can I have it? Like,
that's an, yeah, you can have it, but she should chant the proper mantras and all that.
I'll offer my prayers.
Yeah, she. You can give her those prayers. So
no, she says Gurudev Maham.
Okay, then it's okay. Then it's okay. You know, in the temple, there are many devotees who can do proper things. But at home, you have don't have any option, then they can offer. So that way they are engaged in service.
With prasadam also, like, is it true that if somebody has Mahaprasad or any prasad, they get a human form of life in the next birth?
That's what Prabhupada said.
So that's the point. Is it Mahaprasad or any prasad?
Any prasad.
Any prasad.
So Gurumanda, that means that if we don't have Tulsi at home at the moment, But at the moment, Krishna hasn't, that it doesn't accept anything that we offer at the moment, even though we say the prayers? Or
well, by the mercy of the Guru, he may take it, but now he's guiding you. That question came out.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got it. Now you have to make arrangements.
In the beginning of ISKCON, there was no Tulsi for several years. Tulsi worship was introduced after I joined. I joined in 71.
Haribol, Haribol.
There was no Tulsi in ISKCON before that. So Krishna Shili was accepting it. But the thing is, something that should be introduced to the service in your sadhana.
So we should all be endeavoring to get Tulsi at home and to offer.
Yeah, you should, when you can manage it nicely.
Second.
You should get it. You've enhanced your Krishna consciousness of a Tulsi.
If not, you can ask the temples.
Can we even use a twig or Tulsi? A dried twig? If we can't grow Tulsi in Melbourne weather, so if there is a
trip, then we bring them. Never Tulsi will show you mercy.
You get lights, put it in a wardrobe. Put it in a wardrobe. Only for certain months, and then outside, in a glass house.
That is concocted system.
Because in winter it's very difficult to get
there.
If you show your love, everything depends on love. We also have a problem growing Tulsi in Austin. But we do grow during the summer. And then if in winter she leaves the body, we have at least dry leaves to offer.
So she leaves her body every year?
No. You have to take care. If she gets sick, you have to take care and do your best. Put some lights in a there are very, very cold countries they are growing Tulsi, even in the houses. You will be amazed to see those Tulsis. So big, so green, so nice. But they put light, they put some air, they put some heat. So this is called love. Just like a child is sick, you want to give him all the facility properly. So Tulsi is a great devotee. If you want have love, you will want to grow. And this is for the service of Krishna. You can do all your best, and if she lives, then at least you have some dry leaves.
But I always get this question, Gurumanda. While growing Tulsi, I've got a lot of spider mites and things that I attack.
Then you take care of the spider mites.
But then I get a fear that I'm killing them, and then I'm accumulating bites.
Well, you are killing. You're not going to go to job. You are killing so many insects. When you are driving, you are killing. So you don't go to the job. While you are sitting, you are killing.
Don't someone. Inhale either. You're killing so many microbial germs. Stop breathing.
Stop.
Don't sit. Don't walk. Be scared of. Don't do it. Don't live, don't die.
Okay, here's a question.
Guru Mata, by mercy of Krishna, I've got a lot of tulsi at my home. But some devotees told me that this tulsi belongs to Basil family. It's not Rama tulsi and Shama tulsi. So
well, we have to see what kind of tulsi is there. As there is some looks like tulsi, but it's not tulsi.
It is tulsi, but it's from Basil family. Like
there are different stuff.
Tulsi is Basil.
It's a holy Basil.
In America, they call it holy Basil. Tulsi is in the Basil family. Every tulsi is part of Basil family.
But in Indian shops here, we get a version of tulsi, which is really not tulsi, but looks like tulsi.
That is different for edible things. In Mauritius also is growing. That now devotees know which is tulsi and which is not.
Balaram, I didn't know at one point. Yeah, we were looking after tulsi. We thought it was tulsi for about 2.5 years. You know, we were get washing the mites off her outside and making sure she was in the sun and everything. And then somebody came over and said, "That's tulsi."
Yeah, there is a plant. There is two, three plants which looks like tulsi, but most of them is not.
Okay, then Bhakta and Diane.
Yes,
if we wanted to read the tulsi, how to care for tulsi book, and begin to worship a picture of tulsi.
Yeah, you can do worship, but when you make the offering, what you gonna do? You don't gonna put the photograph. You cannot water her.
But can we do it mentally?
You can do those things, but it's everything is to depend on the love.
So as to come closer to the state, like in the mood of devotion.
Yeah, you can keep one small plant. When we were traveling in the van also, we were keeping one tulsi every day.
But I mean, as a picture?
No, we were keeping live. Picture, you don't take care of it.
It would be mental.
Yeah, it's only just mental. That's it. Then Krishna gives the message, okay, you can take care. Through the devotees. If you cannot take care on your own, so you try to help the pujari, if she's taking care of the tulsi. So that way you have tulsi for offering, you can have take care when she is sick or something. That way you get some sort.
Is it best to grow seed?
Yes.
From seed first?
What, seed, or if somebody has a plant, you take the plant.
Okay.
Say that each and every part of tulsi is sacred, so you can use
yes.
any part of tulsi to
offer
Krishna.
Yes, any part. If I give you a stick, would you eat? Okay, so this is all depending on the love, not that any part, everything is all right. Krishna wants it, love and devotion. Krishna will accept you poison also. You will gonna offer poison? Okay. That's all.
Mata, with the tulsi plant that we have, it's spreading. And what I've done is I've cut it, and by hydroponic, I've grown it and given it to many devotees. They've put in the ground, and it has come out quite well.
Yeah, but you have to see, make sure that it's tulsi. There are many basils also you can put in the water, and the roots will come out, and you can. But I have not seen the tulsi doing that.
Were you part of the traveling bus in the early days where they had the deities in the back of the bus? Were you a part of the bus party?
The Radha Damodar.
You have it about it?
Were you a part of the party?
Yes. There was a... The Radha Damodar, it was called the... later on it became the Radha Damodar Traveling Sankir Party. Before that it was called the Road Show. There was a... it was really wonderful, actually. My godbrother Mangalananda was the... We had a rock... It was a rock... A traveling rock opera. We would... We had booking agents. Some devotees are booking agents. They would get us booked into... Like, we did a concert at Brandeis University in Boston. And they paid $1,000, which is a lot of money in those days, for us to put on the concert. They would pay money for us to put on the concert in the campus, in the auditorium. And it was a story, it was a whole rock opera, a story of how a hippie became a devotee. That was the rock opera. And we had three buses. Our band leader was Mangalananda, and he later on wrote a song about it called something about bliss. But he said we had three school buses. They were tattered out and old. In a parallel world, they were chariots made of gold. And it really was. I mean, it was incredible. They took one school bus, they took all the seats out, and they made an altar in the back. And that was the temple bus. Another school bus, they took all the seats out, and they put the platforms. So you put all the equipment, it was the equipment bus. And in the back of the, we had a rock band and all of our gear, personal gear, you know, our costumes for the theater. We had a lot of gear, and there was like 30 or 40 of us on this party. And then the kitchen bus was, the school buses have a back door also, so there was, they set off the Bajari room in the back. There was a Bajari room, there was the kitchen, there was the equipment bus, and there was the temple bus. We had three buses. And it was really incredible. We traveled around the U.S. putting on this rock opera. And they had the deities of Radha-Damodar. Not ours, they were big deities. They're in Gita-Nagari now. The ones we have are named after them. So the deities had to be tied. They used a rope so they wouldn't fall over when they were driving because of, you know, bouncing bus. So when Prabhupada heard they were tying the deities up, he said, "You can name that naughty boy Damodar." So it was really amazing. We had the number one pujari in all of ISKCON, who had been the head pujari in L.A. when Prabhupada established deity worship, Shalavati Mataji. She was so respected. One sannyasi said, "When it comes to deity worship, whatever Shalavati says is law." That's how much even the sannyasis looked up to Shalavati. So she was our pujari, and Vishnu Janaswamy was the party leader. And it was an amazing experience, traveling with the road show. Really amazing. We had all kinds of amazing adventures. We put on we went to New Vrindavan. We got a big auditorium in Pittsburgh called the Syria Mosque. And we were going to do a concert there. We rented it. And they were selling tickets. After the Janmashtami at New Vrindavan, there was a big concert of the rock opera at the Syria Mosque. And Prabhupada was going to attend it also. He was going to attend it. So we were rehearsing. It was really very sweet memories I have. We went to New Vrindavan like maybe a month or several weeks before the Janmashtami and before the concert. And we rehearsed it. We rehearsed our songs and our you know, the rock opera. So we were there at a place called Madhuban. It was a farmhouse up on the top of a hill. And there was a cornfield right outside the house. And we just slept in the bus. We went down where the cows drink their water, and we would bathe in that. We'd pour the and take but take bath in the where the cow would drink the water in the pond. And we ran an extension cord through the cornfield from the house out to the cornfield to set up our rock opera overlooking the valley on the top of the mountain. It was beautiful. We rehearsed out there. And I remember Vishnu Janaswamy singing. There was one song that he sang. It was, "Oh Govinda, within my heart, celestial herdsman, lotus-eyed one, your precious gift of love impart. Oh, you who stand behind the sun, you're the one, you're the one in my heart. The rolling rivers flow forth from your veins." And we looked down the valley, and there was the river flowing down. And he was singing about the universal form, and we're out here seeing it, and he's singing about it. And it was just the most amazing thing. Vishnu Janaswamy was really, he was formerly a, you know, a singer. He used to sometimes sing with, there was a famous band called the, he used to jam with the band that became known as the Jefferson Airplane, a famous band during the, from the 60s. So he knew all of them, and he was a musician himself. But he gave all that up to become a devotee. So it was really an amazing experience. Really, really special. And Prabhupada, especially that night when we performed for Prabhupada, we had some dramatic scenes where some of us were playing hippies, smoking marijuana. Not real marijuana, of course, but... And I was one of the hippies. I had a long-haired beard, and it was a beard, you know, a long-haired, I mean, a wig, long-haired wig. As other words, pretending like we were smoking marijuana, you know. And Prabhupada said to somebody, he said, oh, the hippies are doing their business. And he saw us up there playing like hippies. And... But the real highlight of the rock opera was a song called Jagad Guru. It was we offered an arti to Prabhupada, and it was a beautiful song. I just remember a few lines from it, and I haven't found a recording of it anywhere, but it was these lines were really dramatic. The pure devotee comes, and then the evil has to end. Jagad Guru, spiritual master of the universe. Jagad Guru, Prabhupada. It was so powerful. The pure devotee comes, and then the evil has to end. And it was very, very powerful. So it was very, very special time in my life when I was on that traveling road show. One of the key memories I have was we were up there at that farm, you know, rehearsing all week long. But there was a number of different farms at New Vrindavan. The main one was called Bahulaban, yeah. That's where all the devotees live. That's where they had the deities, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So we're up there at Madhuban the whole week. And then on Sunday, it's time for the Sunday go to meeting. Like in Christianity, on Sunday you go to church. So if it's Sunday, get in the bus and go down all through the mountains, down to Bahulaban. You know, put on your best dhoti, your best tilak, and go to the Sunday love feast. Once a week, go down to Bahulaban. So we all got on the bus, and Vishnu Janaswamy is driving. Now, one of our songs was a song about the hippie boy Ringer. He got some mystical experience to actually see Vrindavan. And the Brijabasis are singing to him. Glad you've come our way into Vrindavan. Sadness can't remain here in Vrindavan. Where all the trees and the flowers sing of Krishna's name, like this. So it was really something. Here we were in New Vrindavan, right? And Vishnu Janaswamy is driving the bus, and he's singing the song with great enthusiasm. Glad you've come our way into, and we felt, here we are, Vishnu Janaswamy is taking us into Vrindavan. You know, it was really, really something. I never forgot those memories. So you opened up some a little part of my memories by asking that question. And we did a Ratha Yatra in Buffalo, New York. Somehow or other Radha Damodar got on TV. I forget how it was. There was a movie or something. But Shilabhati was really personal. She said, we want Radha Damodar to see how they were on TV. So she brought the thing in to show Radha Damodar how they were on television. I remember that. Shilabhati was very personal. She would treat them like they were persons. She was the head pujari. We brought a TV set in so they could see how they were on TV. Radha Damodar could see how they were on TV. So yeah, it was really a special time. And one Shilabhati sometimes would give these classes that were unique Shilabhati classes. One class she gave it one day at Madhuban, she said, you should do your service in such a mood that you can take any service You can do it in such a mood of devotion that you can go on doing that service for all of eternity. Any service, you see. Not take it begrudgingly, but take it. This is my offering of love to Krishna. Whether I'm, you know, cleaning the dishes, sweeping the floor, you know, whatever it might be. That I should do this in such a mood that I could do this for all of eternity. She gave that class one time about devotional service. So anyway, any other questions?
Is she still here?
Shalabhati, it was one of the fatalities. I haven't seen her in years or heard of her being around. Some of our fatalities have come back. Some of them didn't. Some devotees left and came back. Just like our Rameshwar, he was a big leader in the West Coast. He was gone, but now he's coming back. So some of the fatalities, sooner or later they'll all come back. Because anyone who had that experience of being with Prabhupada and serving this mission, there's a nice statement in the Bhagavatam. My dear it's first canto. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee sometimes falls down somehow or other due to material association, he can do nothing but remember the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness again and again and again. So even if somebody leaves, they'll always remember the sweetest time of their life is when they were practicing Krishna consciousness. Due to some anartha or some offense, they may have a hard time coming back, but everybody will always remember that was the sweetest time of my life, actually, when I was practicing Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Could you please give some tricks for the book distribution?
Prabhupada said, if you will simply describe the books in the best descriptive manner, then anyone, even an atheist, can be convinced to purchase. So you have to describe them in a very, you know, poetic, attractive way. Just learn how to describe them in absolutely the most attractive way you can possibly describe them. You could actually write an essay. Just say, these books are wonderful because blah, 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 blah. Just come up with so many reasons. This book will put you in transcendental bliss. This book will take you beyond the material world. This book will give you a higher taste. This book will you relish it so much you won't want to go to sleep at night. You want to read it all night. You know, there's so many things you can say to distribute transcendental literature. Anything else?
Fatality. I couldn't comprehend.
She left the movement. Yeah.
I couldn't comprehend because she would have had she would have been so close to the deities, and she would have progressed so much.
I don't know what she's doing. Whether she's practicing on her own away from the movement, I don't know.
But how can that happen?
I remember hearing she'd become a Christian nun, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
But then how can that happen? Because I'm afraid that maybe I'm having the sweetest time of my life. So what can pull me away?
Yeah. If such advanced devotees became fatalities, then how can I protect myself? Here's the way you can do it. There's three. The tripod, as I gave in the tripod, shelter, diksha, and obedience. You always keep those three things very strong. I've taken shelter of the spiritual master. I'm getting initiated by the spiritual master. Now I must fully obey him in all times, places, and circumstances. Obedience to the spiritual master will protect you. If you start following your mind instead of your spiritual master, then you're finished. You have to be always obedient to follow the instructions of your spiritual master. And if you do that, you'll never fall down. Anything you'd like to add? Any other questions?
book selling today, I always sometimes put a back foot when I try to sell the Bhagavad Gita. I said, I think always I should give them a small book first, or the journey of self-discipline.
Why get a small book?
I always think, oh, maybe they can't understand Bhagavad Gita. They should read a smaller book first. I always have
that thing. My mind, offering a big book.
Okay.
And they say, well, it's really attractive, but I can't quite afford it. And they said, you bring out the small one. The best thing is offer the big book first. Because if you give the big book, then, wow, they've got the Bhagavad Gita now in their home. And if you can't do the big book, you bring out the small book as the second option. But if they reject the small book, then you're finished. Offer the big book first. And then the small book can be a concession if they can't take the big book. That's a better strategy. The big book can be a better strategy. Oh, here's another one. Offer them a full set.
I mean, I don't see this is going to happen, but just in future, if it happens, I want to prepare myself for the answer. So, what if someone objects recent book launch, that is Truth Works?
What is the objection?
I mean,
Truth doesn't work? They say Truth doesn't work. If somebody says, this title is wrong, Truth doesn't work. Well, I asked them, well, is what you just said, is it the truth or is it not the truth?
I would still say,
what will they say? No, it's true. Truth doesn't work. Well, then obviously your statement, according to you, your statement doesn't work. It's not effective. It doesn't... Somebody says truth doesn't work, then according to them, their statement is invalid. It's ineffective. We say truth works. They say it doesn't work. Well, according to our philosophy, truth works is consistent with our philosophy. For them to say truth doesn't work, it means they're a hypocrite, because they're trying to put something forward as a truth when the truth doesn't even work. You see, according to them. You see what I'm saying? If someone says truth doesn't work, they're a hypocrite. Why'd you even say it then? You're presenting this as a truth, the truth doesn't work. That means you're wasting your energy with something that doesn't work, that's ineffective. Your statement, according to you, is totally ineffective. So why are you even saying it? You see? See the logic?
You've got to know the truth for not to know it. You need to know truth for not know the truth. You need to know truth to make that statement. For them to say truth doesn't work, you need to know truth.
No, the point that he has made, is that true?
Yeah.
If somebody said this, I object to the title of this book because truth doesn't work. That means, according to them, they're presenting a ineffective statement that doesn't work. You understand? It's like someone says there is no absolute truth. And you ask them, well, are you absolutely sure? Oh, yes, I'm absolutely sure there's no absolute truth. They've contradicted themselves. So in the same way, if someone said truth doesn't work, that means their statement is ineffective. It doesn't work.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
The statement can't. If someone says truth doesn't work, that they just canceled themselves out. It's being an invalid.
It's absurd.
Vibrating invalidity. If we say truth works, and truth does work. That's how you can test it. Krishna consciousness, we know it's true because it works. You chant Hare Krishna according to the order of the spiritual master and the Vedic injunctions, you will, in due course, you will personally see Krishna. You will achieve your original identity in the spiritual world. Truth works because it takes you back to the original identity in Krishna's pastime. So we're boarding in about 20 minutes.
So shall we still sell them the book, or shall we just abstain from them?
Sell the book to as many people as you can. So this book, you say the truth doesn't work, but I guarantee you, if you read this book, you will understand the truth does work.
Title volume 1, how many volumes are we looking forward to?
The volume 2 will have the same title, Truth Works Volume 2.
How many volumes are we looking forward to?
It's up to you all. It's simply taken from my questions and answers. I think that was up to
2003 to 2007.
Up to 2007, so there's a lot more questions and answers since then. That was like 4 years ago. So there's the material is there. It's a matter of you all getting it together and producing more volume. The material is already written on Thought for the Day. It's a matter of taking it. It's up to you all to organize, my disciples to organize it.
And what if they say, oh, there are already plenty of Prabhupada's books while we are coming up with a new book?
Prabhupada told me that I could. Prabhupada approved of me writing books. What can I say? I personally asked Prabhupada, and I gave him a list of proposals that I could use to do as a preacher, and he says your proposals sound very pleasing to me, and writing books is one of them. So you can say Prabhupada personally authorized my spiritual master to write books. So it comes with Prabhupada's blessing. This book is with Prabhupada's blessing. You can see it's in the Vedabase. He says, your proposals sound very pleasing to me. You can see, it's in the Vedabase, the letter, you can read it. Now, one of those proposals that I can write books, probably say your proposals sound very pleasing to me. So this is supplementary letter. The main literature is Prabhupada literature. This is supplementary literature to help you connect even more with Prabhupada books. Anything else?
How do we start preaching in office places? Like,
do you have a cubicle?
I've got a cubicle.
You do it? Okay, put a Bhagavad Gita there. You could have Truth Works also.
Yeah, I was planning
put to. Gita and Truth Works there, and have extra copies in your drawer. And just let the books do the talking.
Don't they think it's religious material?
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Because I work in a public service company.
You're not allowed to put it.
I'm just skeptical that I'm going to be allowed to share religious literature. Because there's a clause that I need to say, and it shouldn't be hurting any religious sentiments with other people.
What is the rules of the workplace?
You can't do it in Australia.
I can't
preach in the workplace, usually. You can't have religious items on desks and things like that. It's workplace dependent, but across the board, generally, not to have religious items on display.
What can you display?
What I've done is I've got a.
Can you put in like a pin-up girl? Is that right?
No.
They don't allow that either.
I usually put up the small calendar, the table calendar.
Yeah.
Temple calendar, the small one.
Do they allow? What about a sports hero? Can you put a sports hero up?
People do. No,
you can have a small picture. You can have a small picture. Probably.
I put a table calendar, the temple calendar.
Temple calendar. Yeah. Wow, that's really bad. You can't.
It's getting worse.
Well, what
in America, you can put a.
Oh, here it's not allowed.
Oh my goodness! What kind of country is it?
They say it's secular.
They're promoting godlessness.
Secular country.
They're promoting godlessness. I can't believe it. You can't even have a Bhagavad Gita. You can't talk about God in the workplace.
You
can talk about politics.
No.
You can't talk about politics either. What can you talk about in the workplace?
They can't stop you practicing your own religion.
What is it?
They can't stop you personally practicing it, but they wouldn't allow you to propagate it or
publicly display.
Are you allowed to even say anything to anybody in the workplace? What can you allowed to say?
We say
What are you allowed to talk to each other about? Can you ask about the weather, or about your kids, or something like that?
Rubbish.
Only mundane things.
Mundane.
No, politics is not allowed. What about your favorite sports team?
Yes.
That's allowed? But this is my favorite sports team, the Hare Krishna movement.
That's why we're Tilak.
You can't wear Tilak?
No, I mean, you can. That's one way. I mean, that's one good way of doing it, is wearing Tilak and having Sikha, because they can't take that from you. They can't.
They allow the Sikhs to wear turbans here?
Yeah. And
oh,
and
you can wear Tilak to wear. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's good.
Exactly. Muslims are allowed the hijab, and Sikhs
are allowed
to.
You can wear tilak and neck beads and a shaved head and a sikha. Yeah. Work. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's see, you got a sikha?
Slightly.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Well, that's
so
good.
In my office, I've got a cubicle, and I've got a small Krishna Balaram, you know, those fold out little card sort of temple things. So if I buy something from the supermarket, I can offer it at work. And I've got a Bhagavad Gita on my desk, so people not like, I don't hide from where I'm a Hare Krishna. I don't preach, but if they come to me, I'll talk to them. But I don't talk. I don't bring up the subject.
No.
But if they bring the subject to me, then I'll talk about it.
Good. Good. Now you have the Gita on your desk. That's cool. And then no problem with the supervisor. Yeah. You just don't. This inspires me to do my job better.
Yeah.
Krishna says, do your duty.
In Australia, you've got to be very careful because there are very big rules around. Well, you tell them to come to your car in the lunch break.
Well, one GVC advised me like this. He said, you just have to learn, you have to dance the way, you have to learn how to dance your way through the rules.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Maharaj, what I do is I
dance your way through the rules. Because everybody, the politicians do that also. Everybody dances through the rules. So the devotee is very aggressive. He learns how to dance through the rules and get his work done. How to spread this movement. Dancing through the rules. It's like dancing through a minefield, you know.
And distribute prasadam as much as possible in the workplace. That works too.
That's what we
really
do. Yeah. It's
good.
I go keep part of... I don't even say it's prasadam. I just say...
Yeah, I don't. Well, we're getting close to boarding time. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up now. And... been a nice hour and 20 minute recording here, so we'll stop. We thank you all for being here at the Melbourne airport with us and asking all these wonderful questions. Jai.